Welcome to the Banter.
Three balls, two strikes. Got it. Are we live?
We're live.
We're live. Is everybody set up? Are we ready?
We're set up. We're live.
All right. Let's fucking go then. This is the battery. Woo! Right? This is the battery. We're back. Here's another episode. And fellas, fucking Five Tool, shout out to us. Just won our first ever travel ball tournament. Okay. Isaiah, you got roots. RJ, you got roots. This is something all three of us care about. Okay. Shout out to the man, Jack Thompson, his first dub. Guy's been doing it for a couple years, 5 years plus. I don't know. But you finally got it. Okay. But man, not without trial. All right. We took two teams down. I was running the 12-year-old team. He was running the 13-year-old team. Shout out to the 13-year-old team. They won the tournament. This fucking guy, like the coaches at these tournaments, don't know if you guys have ever been to one of these. You guys went to Vegas, right?
I went to BLE.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus Christ. Okay. Not only are they just like the biggest assholes ever. Like that one dude came up to us, they beat us in game four. This is Jack's team. Beat us in game four of the round robin. We were both 3-0. So we just like played. We were both in, doesn't matter. They beat us 16 buzz, something like that. Shit kicked us, stealing, whatever, whatever. We don't care. Yeah. Comes up to us. Then we played them game one of the semifinal next morning, 12 hours later. Okay. Coach comes up to us, goes, "Hopefully a better game this time, eh?"
The audacity.
We go into the eighth, extra innings, tied 6-6. Boys pop off a fucking six spot, shut them up. See you later. Home team advantage gone. Okay. Because they didn't do shit in the bottom of the eighth. Meanwhile, everybody knows the game's over. We went off for a half an hour extra inning there, right? Just run all day. Couldn't stop us. Okay. We get back out there. They do one of those things where they bring the team in. I'm guilty of this. I've done it. Okay. Bring the team in, do a little pep talk in front of the dugout. Right. Except Canada versus USA. USA fucking screaming at the kids. They just gave up 10 hits consecutively. Like what are they going to do? Cover the gaps? Like doesn't work. Okay. Screaming at the kids. They go out there, just scared basically go out there, give up or don't get a run. Don't get a base runner. We win clean bottom of the eighth, right? Buddy's right in front of the dugout the whole time screaming at the kids. Look alive. Get some energy. Pay attention. It's like, buddy, it's over. Just relax.
Okay. That was your buck.
And then over on the other side with my team, we ended up losing in the quarterfinal. It was a good game. They walked us off, had a big four-run comeback. It sucked for the kids, but it's a good learning experience. But in the round robin, we were going for 3-1, needed 3-1 basically to make it into the next round guaranteed. End up going 2-2 because we had this umpire on the bases who, and for a little bit of backstory, came up to me the game before. We had him in the third game of the round robin, comes up to me and he says this out of the blue. He's the base ump. Who do you think has more power between me and the home plate umpire? And I look at the guy and I'm like, I don't know. Home plate guy, because he's doing more, calling balls and strikes in the game more. He's like, nope. And I was like, oh, I don't know, the crew chief then? Like, do you guys assign crew chiefs at this age kind of thing? He's like, nope. I'm like, you? And he's like, yeah, it's the base ump. I was like, what do you mean it's the base ump? Like, what are we talking about here? And he gives me this whole 15 fucking minute, over three innings conversation about it. Just keeps calling me over. Hey, coach, tell me more about how base umps have power. And then he has us on the bases again for our fourth game of the round robin. This fucking guy, again, 12 U's, calls 8 balks in one inning on our team. All of them, no pause. No pause. We got an hour and a half time limit for our games. A. B, they're 12. C, they're pausing. Like, what? We're literally come and set, stop, go. Okay, it doesn't matter either, because I don't know if you guys have been around 12U much, but people steal bases. 70 feet, nobody can throw it that far hard, okay? Bags are stolen. We had 100% stolen base success rate on the weekend, and we stole every single time someone's on first base, okay? Automatic. And so did everybody else,
Dude, that's like the Spider-Man quote, like with great power comes great responsibility, and that guy just absolutely fucked the dog.
Fucked it.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna ruin some careers today. Fuck it.
100%. Our kid was crying on the mound after the fifth one. Arms up, doesn't know what to do. Crying on the mound. I have to go get him, bring him in. He calls balk. First pitch on the guy I put in after. I'm like, what are you doing? Our assistant coach gets tossed after the third one. Okay. Yeah, after tossed in, and normally I'm like, okay, under no circumstances am I going to get tossed from a 12U game. Okay. But in this circumstance, like I've found one circumstance. Okay. Because like this dude needed to be checked because he was going crazy with all these balks. It was nuts. I've never seen anything like it. Okay. That's it basically though. Like, and oh, actually funny thing, our 12-year-old little shit disturber on the team goes on the mound. He didn't pitch all weekend. It was the only time. He's an infielder, doesn't really pitch. Goes on the mound, holds for like 10 seconds. Like, not exaggerating. 10-second hold. And then looks at the base up and steps off. First pitch.
No.
Hilarious. Anyway.
It's funny you say this, and we're like, I had probably just the American dream. But in the fall this year, we had a best of the West tournament up in Kamloops. We had a coach tossed, actually two coaches tossed, and the whole fan base out of a peewee. I think it's peewee.
I'm sorry. Did you say the whole fan base?
The whole crowd. 13. They're all the parents got thrown out. The kid, it was wild. They cut the game early. Said, "Hey, it's over." Yeah.
So that kind of thing goes viral nowadays.
Was that BLE?
That was it was a BLE tournament. It wasn't
okay. It wasn't tell me who it was without telling me who it was.
Oh.
What's his name rhyme with?
You know, I don't even know if I remember the guy's name, but I want to say I think the organization started with Bull. Ended with Penn. Bullpen.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
I don't actually know, but.
Okay. Yeah, I don't never heard of them either. So
I haven't heard. Who's yeah. No. You mean the armbar?
Armbar. Oh,
Jesus. What a good name. What a good name for the bullpen. But I don't really have any fun 12U stories lately. I've just been coaching the 15U.
What else you got?
They opened up a hockey rink here at the youth field, and I've been going crazy. So like every year, apparently like they take the youth field that's all caged in and turfed over, and they put a fucking hockey rink in it, and it's unreal. I'll send you the pictures afterwards because they have a Facebook post about it. It's nuts. It's so sick. And they have the lights over top. They're playing music the whole time. Like both times I've played games, there's been like 12, 14 people the first time, 12 people the second time, and apparently on the weekends. So this upcoming Saturday, there's gonna be goalies. So like we're running like four on four because it's a smaller ice rink, and then with goalies in the net. I'm excited. My ankles are destroyed because the skates are not mine, and they're also brand new, and they're CCMs, and they just need a little bit of TLC around the edges because it's like they basically put titanium rods on the side of them. So my ankles are just worn out right now. Oh yeah, bruised, worn out, but it's pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me and Wedge want videos.
Or yes.
We don't believe this.
Oh yeah, of me on the ice.
Yeah, the people want.
Oh, I saw a story actually the other day.
Yeah, I posted it. I was like moose sighting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a big man on the ice. Somebody, he needs some milk. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, but that's what I've been doing with a combination. So basically, that's my cardio right now. I have I got a Fitbit early Christmas present from Mama Bear and the old stepdad Rob, and a nice little Fitbit. So you know, midship, I'm checking the heart rate, and it's like 160, 170, and I'm like, I wonder if I can go for 190 here. I might get a fucking heart attack, boys. So it's been fun. I'll get some pictures next time of the boys flying around. This Saturday should be pretty fun. I think that's when the goalies are coming, so we'll see if these guys are just absolute pylons or not.
That's great.
Yeah,
I played one shinny game once.
Oh yeah,
I scored 2 goals.
Oh wow, you're
no offsides were called though. I was
those not don't those don't exist in Shin.
I was not moving very far from where I was, and that was right by the net.
It's mostly a pride thing. Like if you're the guy who decides to hang out on one side, everyone looks at you, be like, you're that fucking guy.
Me and the goalie were chatting the whole time, and I felt really bad after I scored on him too, because it was just a no offsides, and it was a dump, and it went right on my fucking stick. And I just swiped at it and it went through his legs. And I was let's go.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, my dad always, because I was a goalie when I was playing, and my dad would always tell me, like, hey, you should bring your gear and then fuck around with it. Like, it'd be pretty fun. And I was like, no, I'm like, nobody would want that. I just feel weird for doing that, like a try hard or something. And now that I've realized, I mean, yeah, it's the thing to do, right? But that's enough about shinny and hockey. And
you got the right-handed catch, right?
Oh no, I did left-handed catch actually.
Oh, you caught left-handed. The regular way.
Well, it's because when I was a community center, I shoot left-handed. I do everything left-handed, but the community center I had when I first was a goalie, they didn't have opposite hand gloves.
Right.
They basically went, "Hey, who wants to be goalie today?" And my dad went, "Nah, he could do it." I was like, "Fuck, all right, bet." They put me in the net. I was just an absolute plug.
There he is.
Yeah. All right. Well, say that's enough of the anecdotes and things like that. Yeah. Let's go to our guest here.
He's in.
Yeah. All right.
Mr.
Hello.
Connecting, Mr. David Burns. RJ, are you going to tell us about your very interesting and beneficial guest to the world of baseball?
Yes, I absolutely will. Burnsy, if you're okay, we're going to jump right on in here.
Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. So we have David Burns. He's the founder, CEO of Baseball Jobs Overseas. Of Vernon, British Columbia. I think I'm right with that. Native.
Yep.
Shout out Facebook for that one.
Yeah.
I know. Where are you from again, Isaiah? That little small town?
Kamloops.
Grand Forks.
Like an hour away from Vernon.
You're from the Loops? Oh boy.
Yeah. But so David's been at this for a while now. He's also participated in a lot of international star stuff. And I think that's actually where we first met too, was in that tournament this past year. But you handle a lot of the ins and outs of the actual company, along with Jimmy Jensen. Need to shout that guy out. And it's just been a fantastic opportunity, like place for you to give opportunities to people who want to further their career. It's truly sensational, actually. I personally love it. I'm over here because of it, you know.
Yeah, we love doing it for sure. Jimmy's been on board for a while now, and yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it would be without him. So I'm sure we'll get into talking about Jimmy a bit more. But
I hope so.
Yeah, we love doing it. It's we live vicariously through you guys, or at least I do. Jimmy's been doing it for the last 6 years, traveling the world playing ball. I screwed it up. I did it once and then had kids, and you know, I should have kept going, you know. Not that hopefully my kids aren't listening to this, but no.
I was gonna say, yeah, we'll just cut that part out, no problem.
Yeah, just cut that part out.
How did it all start anyway?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a really long story, but I'll try to summarize it. I'm living in Austria because of baseball, and I'm working at American International School. But it's an hour away from where the ballpark is, because I'm playing at the ballpark. And I was just commuting every day, sitting on the train and thinking of, you know, I always had that kind of entrepreneurial blood in me. Shout out to my dad. He passed that on to me. And, awesome. You know, it just kind of came, you know, just popped in my head at about 6 a.m. one day on the way to work. And just because of all the years going by, we're always looking for new imports to come in every year, and they're always asking me to help them find somebody. And then I just realized what a pain in the ass it was. Now, mind you, this was 2005. So back then, you know, like it was a little different, right? There was no, you know, there wasn't a lot of social media going on. And so I just, you know, I just thought of this website, and it was always an idea I had in the back of my head, and it stuck back there for actually quite a while. It took me a while before I actually decided, all right, I'm going to do it. And what inspired me to do it was kind of funny. This is twofold. Is I had a girlfriend and we broke up, and then I'm like, all right, I have time to go do this right now.
Isn't that just the way everything great starts?
I'm like, all right, now I can go do that. I was almost relieved. Like, I'm like, all right, I can go do this. And also at the same time, I had mentioned this idea to somebody else, and then he told somebody else, and that guy started doing it.
Oof.
And then that just fired me up. I'm like, all right, I have to jump on this soon, because that was my idea, right? And you know, it wasn't like, you know, I was in it from the beginning, you know, to earn money, or that I thought it was going to be some big thing. It was more, you know, the original idea was that it might be a business, but you know, I didn't really think it would grow into what it is. So I thought it would just be a fun little thing on the side or whatever.
And I mean, so if there's any takeaways for the people listening, I think it's probably get up at 6 a.m. and break up with your girlfriend.
Yeah, there
I
it is.
That's basically
that is the
that's how you start a successful business, I think. Because obviously what it's turned into now is pretty incredible. I mean, was it how many imports if you were to ballpark it? A few hundred? My gosh. Between that and softball too, right? Like that's, you guys also are deep in softball as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I launched in January 1st, 2013. And since then, we have a running total. I just haven't looked at it in a bit, but we're at about 1,800.
Wow.
Since then. But on an annual basis, we're over 200 annually between winter ball and playing in the summer, mostly Europe and Australia. And then, of course, softball, that's continuing to grow. And now we really, that's our latest thing is we're putting a lot more, investing a lot more resources in growing the softball side now, because we know like that's been, there's a lot of jobs over there all over the world, but there's not a lot of girls really signing up. It's a little different. We have a big database of ball players, but
guys just can't give up the dream.
Yeah.
And I also think I also think the ladies are like, they're in a little more of a hurry to start life than some of the guys. And of course there's also the safety concerns, you know, they're worried about traveling alone and stuff like that, but Sarah, we got Sarah Edwards, she's right, heading up our softball thing, and she's doing a great job. So Lisa Malden used to work for me doing that, and she did a great job. She's in Japan, she's been there 2 years straight, year round playing, but she's working and she's too busy, so Sarah took it over and she's doing a great job.
I have a question for you. What would you say is like the medium prerequisite to be eligible to kind of become a baseball jobs overseas employee, I guess?
to basically be a member on the website,
right,
and have a
shot, and to be able to get a team and to be able to do what RJ's done.
It's kind of tough to summarize it, but there's some really low leagues overseas, like second division Austria, for example, or third division France or whatever, that will pay you to come over and play baseball and coach. So really the prerequisite is like, if you played college ball, period. If you played at the lowest level of college ball, then, you know, there's a job for you potentially. But then we start getting into position. Like two imports, right? Like RJ, I'll speak to this. Like, they're looking for a guy to hit bombs and they're looking for a big starter. And that's
who does that? Nobody does that.
Nobody does that.
No, not RJ.
No. Never heard of that happening, actually. No, never heard of it. No, yeah. I'm blessed. Yeah.
So, but for the most part, it's, you know, if you played some college ball, but we even had some guys like myself, I never played college ball and I ended up overseas. Of course, that was back when the internet was in its first year of existence, and I just got lucky. It'd be pretty hard now as somebody that didn't play college ball to go overseas.
So you also grew up in a different generation of ball players from Canada too, right? Like going down to the States for university baseball was much more difficult back in.
Wasn't even a thought, to be honest, because I just grew up playing multiple sports, and I don't know, at the time. It just no one even pushed me in that direction at all. And so it wasn't really much of a thought. So I always wonder like, what if, you know, but it is what it is. But I learned like most of my career has been overseas, and most of the knowledge about the game I've just absorbed over the years from all the imports coming in and import coaches we've had over the years. And I was kind of wonder what would have happened, right?
There must have been like an underlying, sorry, Wedge, I'm going to cut you off again there.
It's fine.
But there must have been like an underlying reason why, I mean, you chose baseball though, right? You played all these sports and things like that. Was there an influence at home or anything like that? Or was it just?
Yeah. The old man. He was a basketball and baseball player growing up in Canada, like not playing hockey. Like I can't skate worth a shit, but I always dreamed of playing hockey. Like that was always like, that was always one of my favorite things to do, but baseball for sure. My dad was the influence for both basketball and baseball. And, any street hockey game that broke out, I was first picked. I got some, I got some handles, man, but I just can't skate. I can't see it.
David, that's hilarious. So we were just, before you hopped on, we were talking about RJ playing hockey and Wedge being a cherry picker. That's and right. I'm sitting on this side of the screen like, man, I'm too embarrassed to tell these boys I can't even skate.
I can't either. I can't either. That's why I'm cherry picking.
Here we are. I'm like, I'm Canadian and I can't even put on ice skates.
Right there with you, man. I need someone else to tie my skates up properly. So you mentioned that there's a lower kind of level for any, like if you play college ball, you're good to go. But what does the top level look like? Like if we got, like we got guys that are ex-pros, we got guys that are really, you know, good college players. Like what's the hierarchy here? And like how many options would you say are available for those like to continue playing their baseball career? And like, I mean, there's a lot of people that probably have no idea really that baseball jobs overseas has this operation working and probably have no idea. Like I was one of them, have no idea what the leagues across the world look like and what it offers them after their baseball career is over. Lots of guys are pursuing indie ball opportunities in the States and having a lot of difficulty because especially with the lack of minor league teams now and all those things are kind of contributing to the same equation, which is not as many jobs as before. Baseball jobs overseas is presenting that opportunity while also being able to show you other parts of the world. Like you get to go travel across the world. So what's like the scope, I guess, of good, mediocre, bad, like what's the deal?
I mean, the far majority of the leagues overseas are like our bread and butter is Europe, where there is pretty much semi-professionals. What I like to say is there's two or three imports, maybe four, that come over. And the majority of them, I wouldn't say the majority, but at least 50% of them are college players, D1 guys, like a lot of D1 guys you'll see overseas. Then you'll see some guys that, you know, played some indie ball, like RJ. You'll see some guys that played some affiliated ball. And then we'll get former MLB guys that sign up and we could help them. Like we helped Josh Coleman to play in the ABL, for example. So there's really like, there's opportunities for just about anybody, but how many opportunities, like the bulk of the opportunities or the bulk of the contract signed through our website lies in those semi-professional leagues in Europe, state leagues in Australia. So it's not, as extravagant as you might visualize. Like if you're like, I'm going to play pro ball in Australia, but actually you're playing in like a glorified men's league in a way. Mm. Now, like that's what Austrian ball is kind of like, is it's kind of like a men's league, but they're super serious and way more professional and they got sponsors and you know, they charge cover charge to come to the games and whatnot. So it's that's kind of like the majority of the opportunities overseas. But when we get a guy like Josh Colemanter that comes along, it's actually harder to find him something because there are fewer opportunities at that very high level. We're talking about Asia or the Australian Baseball League. I mean, we had a ton of offers for Josh Colemanter. That's a little different, but you know, that wasn't too difficult, but you know, we get some guys that played a high level of baseball. So a lot of it really comes down to who they are as a person and what their expectations are. For the most part, and I'm sure RJ would agree, is you have to accept the fact that you're going to play at a little lower level than kind of where your peak was or where you just were playing pro ball. Yeah. So if you were playing the American Association, you're going to have to expect to play at something, you know, significantly lower because they're paying you to come over to be a dominant player.
Right. They want a dude. They don't want just a mid guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, personally, if I'm moving across the world, that's what I want to be anyway. I'm not going over there to hit 220. Put me somewhere that I can do something, please. Yeah. You know,
you want to be the guy. And when you go there too, you are really, because you're one of two guys coming in and, you know, their eyes just like you just light up when they see this guy come in. Here's the new import. And they're all excited. Like, you know, you're the big dog. And so there's that element of pressure because there's not a whole team of professional players and a whole team of teammates, you know, that all are making a paycheck. It's you and one or two other guys that they're really relying on. And that whole season depends really on how you perform. And So it's a little different that
way. And is there upward mobility?
Sweat over here, bro. Sweat.
is there upward mobility if you have a good year? Like obviously RJ went from Germany to Austria, right?
Check.
There's not huge upward mobility. Italy and the Netherlands. Like if you get on with a team like in the Czech Republic, if you were playing with Drazi or Ostrava and you're in the European Cup and you're playing against Italian teams and Dutch teams and you shove against them, then that's usually how guys get into those leagues. They usually don't sign directly unless their name is Josh Colmenter or something like that. So it's really hard, or unless you got an EU passport.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. So David, let's say I'm a Canadian athlete, because I think we're really trying to help Canadian athletes get opportunities in baseball. Can you maybe just give us a couple simple steps that we can do to get started? So whether that's you gather up all our stats, get video, create a player profile, like where can we start this process for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, the process, the easiest thing would be to go to our website and fill out the feedback form. We have a feedback form. So guys are like a little unsure and they're, cause it seems too good to be true a little bit to a lot of guys. Cause they're like, what, they're going to pay me to go travel overseas and play baseball. But
yes, they will.
And they're used to, and they're used to be like, they're used to not making the cut or whatever the case is in a pro league stateside. So they're a little bit, so we got that feedback form, you fill it in and then we let you know, all right, this is the leagues that you can expect to potentially sign in. Here are your odds, here are your chances. Like, all right, you're a first baseman and you hit 250 in a mid D2 conference or something like that, then we'll be realistic. Like maybe you need to offer to pay your flight, or maybe you have a really strong coaching background to go with it. So that's what I would say, is to fill out the feedback form. Then we can tell you like, hey, no, things are looking good. Like sign up, you'll get some offers, or we'll be like, we've seen guys sign, but you're going to need this, this, and this. And we'll give you some added info of what it will take for you to receive a contract. And sometimes that is paying your flight or offering to pay your flight, because, teams will bring over like that big arm and the big bat. And then they're like, all right, we need another guy to come in and, help, to fill out the batting order, but also maybe help with the youth program. So they'll pick up a guy that's a little
RJ.
Easier on the budget, like RJ.
I'm
very easy on most budgets. Well, that's the cool thing I liked about your website. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, Isaiah, because like, that was the thing. I was very, not reluctant, but just like nervous, because I was like, man, like, where do I even start? You know what I mean? And you guys have all these nice videos. Like, hey, this is what you should say, not what you should say, but this is like the process. Include the good things about you, maybe, some things you like, better your personality, put your stats in there. And I think, it's nice to see like a lot of people, those stats don't lie a lot of the times. You know what I mean? And so that's always nice too. It's like, okay, okay, man. If you're an awesome teammate and your testimonials, those are also awesome to have as well. If those kind of go along with what you're saying and the personality traits, it's like, oh shit, all right, man. Be that third guy if it comes down to that,
Well, I mean, a lot of these teams overseas have been burned at some point by a guy that comes over and his numbers are jumping off the page and they don't even hesitate and they sign him and he comes over and he's thinking, oh, I'm going to play pro ball in Europe. And next thing you know, it's like what he was expecting doesn't match up. And then sometimes these guys might have a chip on their shoulder a little bit because, they were released from pro ball or whatever the case is. And they feel like,
it's going to come over and dominate.
Yeah. And so sometimes like it doesn't work out that way. And so we try to kind of paint a picture of what it's like and with regards to the profile and stuff like that, like we're there to like, we put the profile together for you because we used to do it the other way. It used to be the other way around. You'd be like, here's your profile, fill it out. And guys just don't put any time or love into it. And they don't really know what to put into it.
That's right.
Big baller was saying.
I
told you it was going to happen.
it got us. I'm sorry.
So can, are, is it just stats that kind of acts as reinforcement for these guys? Like, and then you kind of cross reference against like where they got those stats, or do you also accept like different like metrics or stuff like that? Like if someone were to go to a place like Driveline and get, you know, a week's worth of Rapsodo data, would that be something that like European teams or Australian teams that are interested in, or are they more so like, I want to see what this person does in actual gameplay?
Yeah, no, it's the latter. That would be a nice little added information, but
right,
it really comes down to stats and where you achieve the stats, and you know, just a history of success at a at some level that they can use as a benchmark. Mm-hmm. And then video to go with it.
That makes sense.
Testimonials are huge because that helps them with the character side. So yeah, it's really all of that, all of the above. But we did have a guy recently that we actually had to turn away because he didn't play any college ball, and you know, and he had the data from Driveline or something, and but it just and he wasn't willing to pay his flight. So there's just no team that's going to pay your flight and pay you a salary unless you've played college ball and you have those stats, and they can kind of benchmark where how you might do in their league.
Yeah,
so, I mean, right, we're talking about 200 people signed a year. No, there's no shot that it's just you handling all the paperwork on that side, eh?
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, that's the thing, is we are kind of like a platform where they find each other. Mm-hmm. and you know, so they do a lot of their own negotiating, but we're supporting. We have like a contract checklist, and if they have questions, or we'll review contracts, and we'll but in the end it's between them and the club, and right, and on the other end too, we're supporting the clubs when they need it. Like clubs like Trebitsch, they don't need it. They've been doing it long enough and they know, mm-hmm, what they're doing. And but some of these clubs in lower levels, you know, they don't really know what they're doing sometimes. And so we're there to kind of bridge the gap a little bit.
That's one of the nice things I like about the thing too, is like, you look at, you're an agency that doesn't take a cut, with exception to like a month, like a yearly or a 6 month subscription, I think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
whatever you,
yeah,
sign for, like, that's you. And obviously you got to shout you guys out a little bit, cause you wouldn't be over here unless it were for that, were for you guys. So, but that's kind of the cool thing. It's an
RJ, agency. Was this in your contract to just totally.
Is there a gun in my head? I don't see one. All right.
Yeah, I believe it says in your contract, must talk about how great it is for 30 seconds straight. No, uninterrupted. So I apologize. Oh, yeah, I'll let you go for another 30 seconds.
I'm done. All right, I'm done. Done talking. Done talking. Okay, yeah, it's just pumping up, man. It's awesome. It's an awesome.
It is.
Thing,
no, it's,
you
know, a great program.
Because I mean, you think about like the flip side for like indie ball guys back in like, or even, yeah, indie ball is a perfect example. Because it's like, you're emailing guys out of your way, and how awkward is it to like hit up a manager or a hitting coach or whatever it might be, let's say for the Goldilocks, right? And you don't know anybody there, and you're trying to find an email, and you talk to the GM. The GM goes, oh, actually, I don't handle any player stuff. It's all the manager. And you're like, God, I need to find the manager's number and just randomly text them.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, awkward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just nice. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. This isn't 2005. This is what I'm saying.
Kind of like have it. You, would you guys describe, I mean, maybe not directly, but as like an agency almost, like you guys are agents for the athletes that are trying to find a spot?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess what you would say. Yeah. Right. To a sense, we're like a membership platform.
Yeah.
We provide the platform, but we do in a way act as agents, but it's more like in an advisory way.
Right.
As opposed to representing them, because there we do get guys on there that we don't really want to represent, and we don't know it at the time. Yeah. And then we find out like, we don't want this guy. We don't want this guy on our website, and we'll boot him off.
Right.
Because he's over and maybe, you know, he's a complete douche. So
unreliable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that does happen. It's rare, but it does happen. So in the end, like, we're not doing all the talking for them. We're not really. So it's, we're providing the platform, and we're just kind of supporting both sides, and we're trying to make good connections. And if a club comes to us and says, we're looking at this guy, and we'll go, no, he's not what you're looking for, based on, you know, his level or whatever the case is. Sometimes it's, he's too low for your level. Sometimes he's too high for your level, whatever the case is, and vice versa.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I think like we kind of broke down the beginning stages. So let's say RJ signs his contract. They know RJ's a stud, so they pay for his flight. Like, what do these guys expect on the other side of that? They're gonna fly into town, meet with the team. Like, what maybe RJ has to tell this story, but can the listeners get some background so they can feel that side of it out?
First of all, I want to say you don't have to be a stud to get your flights paid.
No.
You could actually be a 250 college guy, but you got a really good coaching resume.
Right.
Go with it.
You're a 230 hitter.
I hit 318 in the CC, which according to RJ is nothing, but that's fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, but yeah, like most contracts are flights played. It depends on the club. It depends on the league. Like in the Czech Republic, you're mostly there to help them win games and achieve their season goal for their top team. But RJ's there coaching youth, and that is often a part of it. So basically, like, you're paid X amount to play and you're paid X amount to coach youth, or maybe you're the pitching coach for the team you're playing on.
Right.
And even sometimes you're the player coach, like you're the head coach, player coach, which is pretty rare. But that happens as well. So there's coaching duty sometimes, you know, like you're going to school sometimes. So the lower the level, really the rule of thumb is the lower the level, the more coaching is part of the emphasis.
And what's the lowest level with the highest amount of pay? Just out of curiosity.
He's got his pen and paper out right now.
I got you there too, Wes. Your CC grinders.
Let me get that 400 batting average off of a man that delivers milk during the week. That's the dream right there.
That's the dream, he says.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, to keep going off you, Isaiah, I mean, like if you're in this league, for instance, if you get off the plane, they're just expecting you to be a professional, you know, and even if you don't have that experience of being an actual, you get paid to play in North America. It's like, just handle yourself like it's a job. You know what I mean? You know, don't piss anybody off. Try and be nice as you can, but more importantly, like, just get your work in, because nothing's worse. Like Burns said before, it's like nothing's worse than when you come over and you're the slap dick. You know what I mean? Because these guys, they do look up to you, right? And it's not so much they look up to you, but they're like, oh man, like new import, like come on, Poppy, let's go, show it off a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, day one, they'll notice at the end of the first practice if you don't pick up a rake and you're the first guy on the bench unlacing. They'll notice that right away. They're looking for that. And if you're not like a guy that's willing to roll up the sleeves and kind of be an ambassador of the game, and then, you know, you're not going to have a long career overseas.
Think of it like a JUCO grinder.
Yeah.
You gotta wear every hat, right?
Yeah. It comes down to what level too, right?
Yeah,
I would say in Austria for sure, like they're expecting you to, like, because all these guys, you have to remember, like, they pay to play, like all the local.
Right.
They're paying a membership fee to play. And they're working 9 to 5, and they're coming to 3-4 practices a week. They're doing play double headers on the weekend sometimes, like in Austria, traveling 5-6 hours to a road game for 2 double headers and getting back at 1 a.m. on a Sunday, then they gotta work Monday. And then you're the guy that's slacking. It's not a good thing. So if you come in and you're a good guy and you put up decent numbers, they're gonna ask you to come back.
Yeah. Are you still swinging the bat these days?
Me or Wedge?
Are you talking to me? I'm trying to get a contract here, RJ. This is the one that you give me.
To Burns. You still swinging the bat?
I came out of retirement for like the third time this past year.
Yeah, me too. Shit.
But now I'm back in retirement again. I'm done. But I wanted to play one season with my son because he's on the team now. So I'm like, you know what? I think I still got a little left in the tank. And first game, I hit a bomb and I thought,
let's go.
I can still do this. And then I never hit another one the rest of the fucking season. And I think I had about, I don't know, 12 doubles that I stretched into singles. And
nice.
I thought, all right, I think I'm done. My hip was killing me at the end. I'm like, so I'm definitely not playing again.
Man. You got the one boy or how many kids?
Yep. I have a daughter as well. She's 21. He just turned 19 and yep. He's at practice tonight, actually.
Oh, there you go.
They started the winter training now. So
Okay. So yeah, again, like they might actually listen to this. I was thinking they were going to be way younger. So like when you know, when you were trashing them before, we really should just snip that out. Eh?
They're just going to use that to get money out of me. So it'll be
easy. Man, it's Christmas season after all that. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else for Burns here? Or?
Yeah. What does 81 miles per hour on a pull down get me? Cause
stop it, bro.
I'm just asking for a friend.
I think wasn't it 83?
It was 81. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Allegedly. It may have been 81 and I might not have been able to throw BP the rest. They might not have been able to throw BP for the rest of the day. So I don't know what, I don't know where that lands me on the, I'm a catcher. So
yeah.
Pretty good. I'll give you a good catcher, Wedge. You caught me that one time alive.
I do have one question actually. And I don't want to ask it in like a gross way, but I am curious because it is probably a huge factor in terms of people deciding to whether to do this. But what does a typical contract amount look like? What for a decent player going to a decent league, like how much can they expect to be able to put away or like what are the fees cost? Like RJ's kind of told me a little bit, but coming straight from you, I think would be a great way to do it.
Yeah, no, I would say for the average guy, it's in the average league, it's going to be costs are covered with a little pocket change.
Right.
So flat return airfare, like plain and simple return airfare, 500 euro a month, which is like probably 30,000 Canadian by now. You know, you're set up with a place, usually with other imports or a host family or a local player, and maybe a gym pass. Sometimes there's a car. Usually it's a bike. So it's really a paid baseball vacation. There's right. there's no banking really, unless your name's RJ. Apparently, no.
Allegedly,
when you're the Canadian Shohei, things fall into place a little bit, I guess.
No, some guys can make enough to really enjoy themselves and you know, cover well more than their expenses. And like if you're playing in Italy or the Netherlands, not that they have huge budgets there or anything, but you can make, you know, some decent money there. You can make a living there.
Right.
Canada actually pays some places in Canada.
Yeah, there's the Quebec Major League.
Yeah, and what about the one in Ontario too, right? That's where Jake went. Yeah. Jake went to the Frontier League. Is that what it is?
No, that's IBL. The IBL.
IBL. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Also, New Brunswick. Yeah, there's only four teams, but they got a budget. Right. I think you know the local government or the government kind of supports them a bit or something. But they all kind of have a budget to bring over. But they're looking for a two. I think they're down to one import is what they're allowed. One non-Canadian. So they're looking for a two-way guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I saw one great story actually on the social media where there was a baseball player and a softball player and they were together and they were partners and they went and played in the same city. How often does that happen? Never?
No, it happens. Yeah, there's been a few. Like there's been I know another couple, Tyler and Chelsea. They went to South Africa. They were in Australia. But these two, yeah, it's somewhat rare, but it can happen because there's a lot of baseball and softball clubs. Like I'm pretty sure Trebitch has a softball team.
Not anymore, but Burnout was close enough.
Yeah, yeah. So there's usually there's ways to work it out. Exactly. Like for example, if there's a Trebitch was looking for a ball player that has a softball girl, they can maybe set them up with the other club in the town or whatever the case is. So it's quite possible for sure.
I gotta teach the lady how to do a windmill.
Yeah, when she graduates, okay, honey, we're going to Europe.
Yeah, what am I
gonna
do? Exactly.
You're gonna play softball. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I know you're studying other stuff, but I don't care. We're gonna go follow my dream.
Marine biologist, we'll see you. Sure. Unreal.
I'm pretty sure David said no girlfriend and 6 a.m. wake.
That's oh right. Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah, right. Okay, okay.
Yeah, see you, Wedge. See you, Taryn. I'll see you later.
Oh, she doesn't listen anyway.
No, you're right. She does. Like baseball. What's baseball?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a way to do it.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, I would be remiss if we didn't at least bring up Jimmy in this whole thing and what he offers the company. Because I know last time when I talked to you guys, I guess it was a couple weeks ago. You guys also have some incredible, like some exciting stuff going on within the organization with the pitch AI and the sponsorships and things like that. I mean, again, the company's on the up and up, I would say. It's trending in the right direction, they would say on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, pre-pandemic, we were rolling pretty good. And yeah. Jimmy brings, yeah, I mean, without Jimmy, like I said, I don't know. He came over as an import in Atnang with our club here in 2015. He signed up for the website and I nabbed him before any other club could, and he came over, and he was just a perfect fit at that time for Austria. And then he's, you know, he's been in high demand ever since as a two-way guy as well. Like you get to swing it in Europe a lot, right? So I mean, he just has the right character that I was looking for, and he came along at the right time, right when we started like getting that little hockey stick thing going, where it started getting popular and people started signing up, and I was overwhelmed because I had a full-time job and I got two little kids, and so he's living at my place. I'm like, hey, we just hit it off. He was like a little brother, so I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You want to make a little money? So hired him, you know, for peanuts, but for an import player it was like an extra couple $100, you know, goes a long ways. So
yeah. And then now Jake McDonald's a social media guy too, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God he took that. Like I was doing way too much. I shouldn't have been doing that much. So I should be more focused on what our next thing is and right. Where we're standing to. And so I was doing that, and we were looking for the right person. We're looking for a ball player that's through the website, someone that we already, you know, are comfortable with, that we know. And he does a great job. Jake does a good job. Nice to have another Canadian on board. And yeah. So yeah, he's been on since late 2020, and he's great job.
I think it was at the end of Zollingen, actually. I think is when he popped on there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you guys played together, or you guys played against each other?
Yeah, I brought him from Switzerland to Germany.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I went to college with him actually when he was a first year.
Oh yeah.
Really? Yeah. The road goes way back. It all leads back to Wedge, though. You know. That's
it's a forked highway, but it's actually a fucking infinity circle. Just stuck in a loop constantly.
Yep.
Well, what is on the horizons for you guys? Are you looking forward to any new projects you guys are trying to get off the ground, or is it all hush-hush KGB style?
No, I mean, it's a no-brainer for us to start helping, at least starting with kids in Europe, just trying to help send people the other way, you know? So there's a lot of good young talent coming out of Europe, and we're in a great position. Living in Europe myself, Jimmy live in Europe, Jake's got the Italian passport, he's gonna be living here, Sarah lives here. So I mean, we're gonna start doing some showcases and see what we can do to help out, and you know, we have a few people like Jeff Freeborn that are you know, well connected as well, and some guys in the States. So we're gonna see where that goes. That's gonna be a fun project as well. So but you know, we don't want to overstretch ourselves. We want to make sure we can still provide the service that we do for guys that look to play overseas. So it's always, you know, fun trying to figure out what that next thing is and then how we're going to do it without, you know, within the whatever budget we have. And we're just loving it. We work in baseball, so you can't complain, right?
That's another job you can have, man.
That's how I get myself through the night right there. That statement.
Fair enough.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Right. Well, thanks a lot for hopping on there, Burnsy. I appreciate you for your time and walking us through this whole process, man. It's been great.
Yeah, anytime, boys.
Awesome.
Appreciate you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
We might have to go over there.
If you're gonna come to Finkston Ball.
They coined
the name of the tournament after me not being able to pronunciate the name of the tournament properly. So they renamed it Finkston Ball because I couldn't say it right. But it's basically it's baseball and a music festival, and it's a little more on the party side than it is baseball, but it's a lot of fun.
I think the bucket list for me is to go to Prague Baseball Week at some point, even if just a fan.
Yeah, that's insane. I put Finkston Ball a little higher in terms of what the experience is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll do both. They're not saying, are they same weekend?
Yeah. RJ, you got to come to Finkston Bowl.
I know. I want to, man. Hey man, if COVID settles down, I am so down for everything. Like I still haven't even experienced like a Christmas market or a beer fest or anything like that. I've been over here the worst time.
Your whole overseas experience has been COVID. Yeah. Shit.
You got it, bro. But hey, still loving it though. Still loving it. People are still smiling, so that's a good thing.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Take care, man.
Nice to meet you.
So yeah, that was David Burns, guys. I mean, the guy's a legend over here. Everyone goes through him or Jimmy. And if you're on the softball side, it's now Sarah. And I mean, they're just fantastic people. I know when I first set up my thing, and the reason I was pumping it so much was just because like they handled it so well that like, it's not like I feel like I owe it to them. But I want to give them the credit that they deserve for how much effort they put in. Like, so when I signed up, I had a brutal pitching year in Germany, but I hit really good, and it was a COVID year too. But when I made
the account, you weren't BBJO when you went over to Germany.
No. I ended up coming over initially because word of mouth went from Wayno. He's the Australian coach in Zollingen, and then went from him to Ryan Smith. I think he's a
Oilers legend.
No, stop. I think his name's Ryan Smith, but that's fair. But he went from Wayno to Ryan Smith, who they played together in Australia. He's a Canadian. And then Ryan Smith contacted a bunch of people, the first one being Blundell.
Oh.
And then Blundell hit up Nick Salahub. And then Nick Salahub called me when I was leaving Coquitlam, actually after a Live ABs thing.
And you know him from BLE?
I know him from BLE.
Wow.
Yep. And he asked me, he's like, hey, you're training right now, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, do you want to go over in Germany and play ball? I was like, let's fuck. Yeah, I'll talk with a girlfriend. And then I naturally went over there.
And then you took the David Burns route, and
that was year two. That was year two, unfortunately. Yeah, but
I got a question for you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So you went to Germany, and then blah 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 blah. And then now you are in Czech. And my question is, and I don't want to sound cliche with it, but did BBJO like change your life? Like, because it feels like it did.
Well, I mean, yeah, probably, you know, because I mean, if I didn't have the BBJO with all the offers, then I wouldn't have signed in Zollingen because it just wasn't enough money. They weren't looking for a high, like, you know, just they just didn't have the budget for it. Right.
So they didn't want it. They couldn't afford RJ Johnson.
Well, it was just a lot. Like, I told them, like, I need to cover bills. Bills, and it was bills to live in Vancouver, right? With Sid. Yeah. And so when I wasn't able to cover that with the offer they gave me, then I was like, fuck, you know, without BBJO, I would have went, okay, well, I'm either going to retire now because I can't find a job, or go play for the Gold Eyes and like try and get a spring training thing, even though they were in the States and it was a nightmare. And it was like, I had to pay my own way to go there and shit. So, I mean, yeah, I would say so, you know, with me coming out here, living out here full time now. And yeah, I would say probably changed my life for sure. The direction it was going in. Yeah.
It also lost me my fucking pitching coach. So I now want to take back everything nice I said about BBJO. Just
still love you though.
Just for the record.
We're just more than pitching coach. Coach, for more than just that, you can tell the people at home that.
Well, that was a good guest, RJ. I'll give you some props. I know we've been wanting to get him on for a long time, but that was a good guest, RJ.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's a hell of an opportunity, if we're being honest.
I think so too. Like,
to travel, like, how many people travel like idiots on their own wallet? Like, buddy, you got to trade, go hit a baseball, go to Europe. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. And there is enough free time too. You know what I mean? For like most places, you're going to have like those 2 weeks off at some point where you could. And again, so like Burns said it perfectly, like you're not going to come out like within the green, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you're going to get by. Cause I mean, for most places they're going to, it's for sure housing, you know, it's for sure housing. If you're lucky, it's food, you know, and transportation, you know what I mean? To and from games and shit like that. But for the most part, if you're not close, take a train. Their train system here is nuts. So it's like you can get everywhere you need to go. If you have those 2 weeks off, then like you have enough money saved up where, like, I mean, okay, it's tough now because of COVID and stuff. Everything's more expensive to fly and to travel, but like you're still so close to so many places that you can find a cheap ass flight and spend a week there. Live in a hostel for like 10 euro a day. You know what I mean? It's awesome. I did it in Belgium. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I feel like the most expensive part of going to Europe is going to Europe.
Yeah,
and that's being covered, right?
Totally. Yep. Yeah, that flight is nuts, man. That round trip flight is like fuck $2,500.
Isaiah, I got a side question for you.
All right, hit me.
Why do you need two different zoom ins of the world in your office? Like, how often do you stand over there and look at your globe right next to your large blown up world map and just spin around and go, like, do you do that game where you spin it and put your finger on it and then be like, I'm going to travel there?
Yeah. Or you can go, I'm registered to work here and here.
Is that one of those like Etsy scratch off maps where you can like scratch off where you've been?
No. You know what? See that globe right there?
Yeah.
The one we're talking about?
Yeah. It's the one. Yeah.
The one we're talking about. Where did I found it at like Ross and it looks sick. So I bought it. And then I just moved into this house and I can't have empty. Look at you. You got the kid. You got hats in the background. You have a damn plant in the background. I'm surprised it's plant. Alive.
It's climbing very high, plant, which apparently, according to snake plants, is not a good thing. But
okay.
Yeah, they're supposed to stay in the grass. It's
decorations, man. Why don't you
get Mantle and Robinson Cano?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but anyways. Also, I want to say though, don't be blasting Isaiah for having a full room. You have the corner of a bedroom that
you're doesn't to show have. Up on the camera.
Allowed I think we to should have
finish the corner. Episode now because.
Hell yeah!
I had all a desk right. And it got taken from me. Okay.
Well, she had to go do schoolwork with it.
Well, COVID made her work from home. And I lost my desk. Okay, so I got banished. I got a fold away desk in the corner of my room. There it is. Okay. There cozy. It is. Let's cozy. Finish the episode and we'll all see right. you next time.
Okay. Girlfriend guy. Girlfriend
God.
Guy.
Yeah.
Girlfriend guy.
See you later, girlfriend guy.
Finish.
Thanks a lot for tuning in, guys.